League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gau Media Station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Oh, it's a Monday here in H-Town, and it's Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Sharara. It's Three Stooges, and we are in our normal chairs, and we are ready to go. Nick is wearing a flat visored old-school pajama logoed Rockets hat. He skipped on the doubleheader yesterday, so he disappointed and lied to all of us. We have to deal with that. Travis, how was your weekend?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I woke up, didn't I? So
every day's a good day.
I mean, only thing is that dang Florida State game, man. It ruined the rest of my week.
I thought of you on Saturday, and then I felt exactly what you were feeling based on yesterday's Packer game. So that was tough. And then today, as I filled you guys in, because we like to keep you guys in tune and in touch with us in our real lives, my daughter's first day of daycare/school, and if there's anything that can rip your guts apart, is watching your child cry the first time you drop them off in a strange place and have to deal with that. That was traumatic. So that was not a highlight, but hopefully she'll adjust sooner rather than later.
Hey, you better than me, because I actually laughed when the first time when my kids cried. I started laughing.
Why?
Because, like, it's hilarious to me.
Oh, it's terrible. So, anyway, we got the personal stuff out of the way, and we can touch on our travesties, which the travesty was Saturday night's Florida State game for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then the Packers yesterday let me down. The Badgers did get another big win, and by the way, I was ready to throw all kinds of venom at you guys. If the Eagles had hung on against the Cowboys, and I did say, I think I still picked it right with the spread, but I would have had almost a perfect weekend if the Eagles had beat the Cowboys and if the Packers had hung on. I was rolling.
You know, the crazy part is I actually won all, if gambling wise.
Yeah.
I won all my three team parlay. I won all it because afterwards I'm like, you know what? I like that. So I said, put some money on it. And Florida State, of course, covered. Michigan State, Michigan covered.
Yes, they did.
And so did the U of H game.
Well, you called that one.
Yeah.
We were talking during the day, and you were right on with that one. Yeah, I mean, look, I was sitting there going, because you guys gave me such a hard time that I wrote them all down, because I was like, okay, if these do come to fruition, I am absolutely coming at you guys. So Wisconsin won. The Broncos won. Clemson won. Eagles win, and the Packers win, and I have a perfect weekend. And the Packers 1 point, and that was really painful. But the Eagles game, Eagles were winning that whole game.
Yeah.
The turnover absolutely killed them late.
It did.
With the other running back. But, wow, exciting weekend of football. And then the news breaks today that we really want to get into with you, because no one knows them quite as well as you do, or very few do. Andre Johnson, a legendary Houston Texan who we've had on the show, decided to call his coach last night and tell him it's just the fuel and the fire, they've been extinguished. They're just not there anymore. It's time to call it a career. So arguably, if not easily, the greatest Texan of all time.
Yes.
You and I were talking, and we thought we'd open it up to the masses of the people that want to line up, especially not even if it's Halloween or not.
Yeah.
People are lining up at our front door to get in our living room. So while you're standing in line waiting to get in, like you're ready to be an early voter, or you want some of that badass candy that we feature in the big pumpkin, who is your Mount Rushmore of Houston Texans? And if we can take it, who's your handful? So we can do four or we can do five?
I say we do five. We got to do five.
Okay, who's your handful, right? So who's your handful? I say Andre's number one.
Yes.
I say JJ's number two.
Yes.
Okay, number three, I'm not sold on it, but I think you can convince me. We've talked about this in the past, but I think just because, quite simply, there aren't that many to choose from either. But I guess Arian's number three.
Yeah, Arian, I think when you look at number three, it's either a tie between Arian and Mario, as far as, because, I mean, outside of JJ, Mario's been the greatest pass rusher we've had here, and he was the record holder until JJ broke it, I think, at the end of this past season.
Right.
So I got to go with Arian and Mario probably for three, tied at four, I mean, for three. And then I would say four, you have to go with Dwayne Brown.
Well, you've got four with Andre, yeah, know, JJ, Arian, but, Mario, you know, then you're fifth.
Yeah, so I got those two tied for three. I got those two tied for three.
Whoever is not three is four.
Yeah, but I just got them tied for three.
Okay, you can't count. You can't do Travis math now.
But I'm doing. But I got a Wisconsin education, so that's the best math.
If you
they
did, you'd
me.
Actually have you would have no problem with this.
So because
I don't think you went to Wisconsin because we don't get them like you guys do.
Man, we get exactly. We did get penalized for foolishness. But when you think about, you know, you look at
Mark Foot Locker. Sorry.
Hey, you look at,
okay, Andre, JJ, Arian, Mario, and five's going to surprise you. Maybe not surprise you. Surprise the listener.
But see, that's the thing is you got to go with five. Five is one of two people, and right now you either go with Dwayne Brown or you go with Matchout.
Can I throw one more in there?
Yeah, you can.
DeMeco.
Oh man, I forgot about Captain Meeko.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That makes it interesting, right?
Yeah, it makes it because you know what. Oh man, when you look at,
in my mind, I'll go Andre, JJ, Arian, and I will go Mario reluctantly.
Why reluctantly?
Just because I never thought he panned out to the level he should have. But I understand stats are there. So then five for me is either Schaub, DeMeco, or Dwayne Brown.
That's a tough one. I think the listeners should be able to.
Yeah,
vote
so
in
you guys
on
got plenty of fodder to play with there. Who is your Fab Five of Houston Texans football all time? Because Mount Rushmore just doesn't do enough. There's four there.
And if you got a Wisconsin education, you can give us five or six, and we'll take that call.
And
as well.
If you got a Florida State education, you can have hanging chads and have 100. It doesn't matter. But either way, we want your Fab Five in Houston Texans football history. Who are your Fab Five to this point in the history of the franchise? I doubt anyone will put Rick Smith on that list. Nick, who do you got? You see any changes in your Fab Five? How was your weekend? How is the Flat Visor treating you? I rarely see you in a hat.
Yeah, I don't really wear hats that often, but it'd be about the same. I do Andre, JJ. I thought about DeMeco, but would you put Owen Daniels in there now?
Yeah, OD's a top 10. No doubt about it, OD's a top 10.
But probably not a top 5, I kind of felt the same way.
But you know what? I think a lot of OD's legacy had to do with the tight ends in the AFC at the time. Because if you look back at OD's career, his first Pro Bowl, he ended up going as an alternate. But he also was here when Dallas Clark was in the AFC. He was here when Tony Gonzalez was in the AFC. He was here what's my boy in San Diego?
Gates.
Yeah, Antonio Gates was in the AFC. So he had to compete with arguably five all-time great tight ends at the time when he was in the AFC. So I think it diminishes his history a little bit.
OD went into a phenomenal school of higher learning.
Yeah, just because it was Wisconsin, yes.
Wisconsin, it's Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. But you know,
it's like me calling it Florida State.
You can call it Florida State. You know what I mean?
Floridia.
Hey, you can take Florida State. But you know
take
what?
Anything, yes,
I think that's the biggest thing that hurts his legacy is the time where he played.
Yeah.
All right. So, who's your Fab Five in Texans history? We'll start that. We've got a lot to talk about with the Houston Texans. Defense actually looked pretty good. Offense, still having a lot of problems. Still a lot of things in flux. I said flux. Still a lot of things that are making you scratch your temple. I do give Lamar Miller credit for toughing it out and giving them at least a little balance in the backfield. Because with just Blue back there, I think they might have had a lot more problems.
But you know what? I was saying this last week, and I kind of caught myself because we lightweight changed the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
But I felt like Brent Grimes needs to get more touches. Like he gives them.
People forget he's even on the roster.
Yeah, because he gives them a lot of divert. Because all he does is play special teams for him.
He's a change of pace guy.
But he's a change of pace guy. He catches the ball well in the backfield. He runs the ball well in between tackles. There's nothing he can't do. And the fact that they don't use him as much, it kind of, I don't want to say disheartening, but I mean, the kid can play football.
Yeah. So let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Pac-Man Joel. He's at TrapJ99 and at No Hit Nick. You can reach all three of us. You can tag us, and we will all respond because we're really good about it, unless you're a complete idiot and say something that's completely ludicrous, and then you will just be thrown by the wayside. Don't block us. We won't block you. That's another story for part of the show we can probably get into. And also, 713-780-ESPN. You can call us. You can text us, and we'll get you in on the show. We want to know your top five Texans of all time. And then why don't you give us your Andre Johnson favorite moment? Because we were talking about that, too. If there was a statue erected outside of NRG, would it be him giving a beatdown to Courtland Finnegan? Or was there another more defining moment in Andre Johnson's Houston Texans career? Let us know all that, too. Why don't you call us? Be a part of the show. We'd love to have you. 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4 o'clock. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Trav and Joel. We're so into this that we actually have conversations going. We're not organic, but we do grow our own, so to speak. We're homegrown. Is that fair?
Yeah, no question. Homegrown.
Yeah, but we like to be prepared for you guys. That's why, organic or not, we chat throughout the breaks to make sure we give you the best knowledge, the best information. Here's another question for you. Servant, I see you on hold, and you want to talk about your Mount Rushmore. That a boy. We appreciate it. We want everybody to join in on this conversation because it's worthwhile, because there is some influx of votes as we get down around number four and number five. Your Mount Rushmore of Houston Texans lore. Who are your five greatest Texans in history to this point in their illustrious franchise history? And then we also brought up, like, what's your favorite Andre moment? Because to me, no matter what he did, the one thing that he did, because it was so out of character for him, was when he beat the tar out of Courtland Finnegan, who had it coming for so many years.
Yeah.
That was like, forget all the great catches and the gutty gritty yards after the catch. That just kind of symbolized Houston making a stand as a team and him being the leader as he always was. And in the break, I threw it out to you because you know him well. He's a dear friend of yours and you guys played together. There's a back and forth on whether he's a Hall of Famer. And I said if he ever had a quarter, you know, consistently throughout his career, if he had a quarterback here, aside from those 4 or 5 years with Matt Schaub, if he had a quarterback throughout his career here, his numbers could have been, dare I say, double what they finished?
No question. He'd have been a 150 touchdown guy. I mean, he's got finished with 70 touchdowns, you know.
And 64, right? Wasn't
it
like 64?
No, I think he's like, say, he's at 70.
Okay.
Yeah, he's at 70. The thing is that when he played with, I don't even know how many quarterbacks he played with. I'll just use this for example. DeAndre Hopkins has played with 10 quarterbacks have thrown him passes since he's been on this team. So you think about that, times that by 10 years of Andre Johnson being here, and break down how many quarterbacks played here and how many times he had to catch pass from other people. Andre, he might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he'll get in on the simple fact is his yards, because I mean he was doing things that people weren't. He had back-to-back 1500 yard receiving seasons. The numbers that he put up were ridiculous, even when there was nobody else to throw it to.
You know, the funny thing to me is that we might be looking at mirror careers in some ways, because DeAndre Hopkins probably looks at Andre Johnson's career, and we talked about this last week. This might be the main reason that he looks to go elsewhere.
Yes.
Because of the fact that he can't waste his career. We know that football careers are cut short more than they have longevity, and if he definitely wants to be considered where Aaron Rodgers put him at the start of the year as probably one of, if not the best receiver in football, you got to have a guy that can deliver the goods. Right now he knows he doesn't have that, and he knows that guy's going to be around for at least this year and one more. And that could be a problem. So if you're a Texans fan, As much as you celebrate the career of Andre Johnson, you also have to worry a little bit in your back pocket because you got to start thinking about, hey, if Andre could have been a guaranteed Hall of Famer, if he had guys that could deliver him the football, and yet he's still right there at the cusp, and you believe he's going to get in, I believe eventually he'll get in as well, then what does DeAndre Hopkins say? Because the situation that he's in right now does not look good.
It's not different. And, I mean, and here's another thing about Dre. A lot of guys got rich off of his back. Like, when I say that, I mean, Andre signed contracts that literally boosted other guys' contracts. So Andre signs a deal after Randy Moss signs a deal. He gets a lot of money. Then comes backdoor that deal is Larry Fitzgerald, who signs even more money to Andre because he's like, well, you know, he has no quarterback. I have a quarterback, and my numbers are just a slight bit better, which they weren't at the time, and he gets him paid even more money. Then the next guy comes and says, I want more money than that guy. Dre signs a deal that's more than that, and they – so the things he's done for this game, not just the city of Houston, has been phenomenal. But I agree with you that DeAndre Hopkins right now is looking to get out of here for that reason. You know, when you think about how many guys or how many elite receivers that went to the Pro Bowls that he went to, that went to the that did what he did in this league, how many of them can say I caught passes from 12 to 15 different quarterbacks?
A lot of quarterbacks, man.
I mean, when you look at Jerry Rice. And we look at Jerry Rice's career.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says, oh, Jerry Rice is the gold standard for the receiver position. He's the guy.
The GOAT.
He's the GOAT. You know what I mean? I don't disagree, but I don't always agree because at the same time, Jerry Rice caught passes from four guys. Two of them are Hall of Famers.
Hey, I mean, do you count the Raiders years?
Yeah, of course you count the Raiders years. I mean,
okay, so you caught from Joe. You caught from Steve.
You caught from
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon. You caught from also, don't forget, what's the short redhead guy?
Which one? Jay Schrader?
From Frisco.
Short redhead guy from the Niners?
Yes. That threw
Matt Kavanaugh?
No. Come on, man. I'm remembering in a second. Give me a second. My brain is an overload. But he caught. So you go. Yeah, you go Rich Gannon. You go. Gabbert. No. Gabbert was a baby when he got in the league.
Your mic's off.
But
no, I thought Travis's mic was off.
Yeah, no, I thought so for a second. You know, he played in Cleveland. He also played in Philly.
Who did?
The quarterback I'm talking about.
God, you got me and normally. Oh, Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia. Thank you. So
married up.
So that's one. So that's one. That's another guy he caught from. But Jeff Garcia, in his own right, was a pretty solid quarterback.
Oh, no question about it. He had a good career. Yeah.
But I mean, how many other guys can say they caught passes from two of the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time?
Yeah, but I mean, look, longevity wise, athleticism, he stayed healthy. But I mean, Jerry was. You're right. The gold standard and then some. It's, it's hard to get many people that are going to argue that. But on the flip side, this is exactly what we're talking about. This is a problem. For the franchise on Kirby, you've got a guy that's going to retire, and the only reason why it's going to be a question mark whether he gets in the Hall of Fame or not is the things that he was prevented from doing because of the lack of quarterback play. And now you got a guy that's on the cusp of becoming a free agent in 2 years that is going to probably take that career and look at it long and hard before he makes his decision on whether he decides to stay here or go elsewhere. And it's probably has nothing to do with his teammates, the locker room, the stadium, the city, or anything else. It has everything to do with who's behind center and who's delivering the goods.
No question. And who's on the other side of me. I think even when you watched the game this weekend, you saw Will Fuller, you know, we say beat him up ball. You know, the ball was beating his hands up and he wouldn't. I mean, he'd make a gorgeous catch one play. And
as much
as
you want to downplay the fact that everybody said he had bad hands coming out, you can't deny the fact that he drops a lot of balls that he should catch.
You can't. I was hoping you were going to say, you can't deny the fact that he had bad hands coming out, and he really has bad hands. Like, somebody did a great job scouting the kid.
Yeah.
End of the day, they did a great job scouting the kid, and I think they were hopeful that some of the problems were focus issues, or some of the problems might have just been issues that he wasn't taught well, you know. But I don't know, man. I know Dre gonna be a first round Hall of. I mean not a first ballot, but I know he'll be a Hall of Famer. It's only a matter of time. And when we come back, I'll tell you the story about that fight. That's absolutely hilarious.
Well, you can't wait. There's no better tease in the world than that. That and more, Servin. We're coming to you, too, because we're going to start the conversation with you, the fans. We've got tons of tweets, but now we're starting to get calls, too. Who's your Mount Rushmore of Houston Texans history? Who would you put on there? I think number one in pretty much everybody's mind is a no-brainer, because Dre will be the first to wear a Texans uniform in the Hall of Fame if he gets in, and then we'll go from there. We're here till 4, 713-780-ESPN if you want to call or if you want to text. You can also tweet us. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. You can look all around the dial and you can find a home here at 97.5 because we have better information than anyone else. We give you the honest to God's truth on what's going on with your favorite teams and what's going on in the league. And quite frankly, we just don't beat around the bush. We know whose teams you cheer for, and we know who you like. We're just not going to candy coat it. And we also get you the best knowledge from the best people that have the best insight on the things you want to talk about. And I'm sitting next to a guy that played a majority of his career with number 80 for the Houston Texans, Andre Johnson, who called it a career today. Second such player with Texans ties to do so in the last 3 weeks. Arian Foster wrapped it up. As a member of the Miami Dolphins, now Andre Johnson as a member of the Tennessee Titans. Trap, it would have been nice if there would have been some way without him screwing with the cap or worrying about technicalities just to have him retire as a Houston Texan.
Yeah, I think he's probably still going to come sign a one-day contract and then retire technically as a Texan. But I think a year like this year here in Houston, when you got Will Fuller in here, I think it would have been a great year to bring him back.
Locker room guy and a player coach.
Yeah, and be able to put him in the slot, do like you do with Fitzgerald. He's in the same shape or better shape than Larry Fitzgerald.
Came in maybe arguably the best shape of his career except for the early years.
Exactly. So why is it that you weren't able to find a home for him here at home? You know, the man built a house here. He was staying here. He's not going anywhere. This is where he's making his home.
He's pretty much going to stay here, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, he lives around the corner. He lives around the corner from me and built the house. And I told him, I said, listen, the day you retire, I'll be over there every day. Lil Travis Ducey asked me every day, hey, man, can we go by Dre house? Dre is not here, Ducey. So we cannot stop
by. That would be your son for the name dropping for you that don't know.
So, but yeah, man, I just remember, you know, I never forget. I was, we played a...
Hold on, before you get to that story, Selvin's been waiting a while. Okay, let's get on, Selvin in, because you got to get to that story about Courtland Finnegan, too. Selvin, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of you guys. Thanks for getting my call.
Appreciate it. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the Fab Five and the defining moment in Andre Johnson's career. I'm pretty much on point with you guys on those first four, you know, the Johnson, Watt, Foster, Mario. On the fifth one, you know, I'm kind of iffy on that one as well. You guys, I loved D'Amico Ryans when he was here. I was kind of disappointed when he got injured and he got traded to the Eagles and all that. So I'd probably have him there, just slightly edged out on Schaub. And Schaub had the great years. I know he had those turnovers late in his career and kind of, you know, gave it a little mistreated by the fans. But I also wanted to just kind of give a little shout out to Dominic Davis. You know, early in his career, I thought he was great. I know he doesn't hit that top five of the Texans' history, but I feel like if he would have stayed injury, he wasn't so injury prone. He could have done some more. He was a great runner.
Yeah, he's also, it also hurts me. He's got two names. Is he Dominic Williams now?
He's Dominic Williams now.
Yeah, now he's Dominic Williams. But you're right. I mean, early in his career, people thought that he was headed for the Pro Bowls and a long career toting the rock. Great call there.
Yeah, and talking about Andre Johnson's moment, trust me, I love the Courtland Finnegan beatdown. That's probably the best ever. But if I had to chime in about something else, I would always remember the that first Texas playoff game when TJ is throwing the ball and Andre came in, did the little double move on the corner and took it to the house and jumped to the stands. I'm always going to remember that moment. That's probably one of the most defining moments of Andre's career. Just love that moment, especially, you know, him. I know he didn't get a ring or anything like that, but at least he got to get a touchdown in the Texans' first playoff game.
There you go, man. Hey, great call, Selvin. Thanks very much, and don't be a stranger. We appreciate you chiming in on things like that. Trap, you know, it's tough because you look at a guy, like you said, who's going to be here in Houston, and I think that the one thing that bothers me about this city is they forget about the good stuff, and they stick to the negatives,
yeah,
and they hang on it. I mean, the fact that people are, and we've seen this a lot in the tweets so far that we've gotten, the fact that no one wants to put Schaub or consider him at number five is all because of that final year and all the pick sixes. They don't remember the Pro Bowl seasons and the 14-2 year and what he did for about a 4 or 5 year span.
They don't realize how bad we would have been without Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
They don't realize that when at the time, the culture and how he helped change the culture around here.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub, when it's all said and done, yeah, okay, the last year. But if Bob McNair ever decides to have a true ring of honor, Matt Schaub should be one of those guys to go in that ring of honor.
See, and that's from a guy that played with him, in the same locker with him, that can tell you, gang, look, he had a bad stretch, and it didn't end the way anybody. I guarantee if you asked Matt Schaub, he'd have told you the same thing. It definitely didn't end the way he wanted it to. But for a 4 or 5 year span, he did a lot of things to put you in a position to win ball games and be considered one of the better teams in football that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
And let's not forget, at the time, the receivers also wasn't getting open like they should have. You know, a lot of people don't remember it. All they remember is the actual. They don't remember. They just remember the effect. They don't remember what the cause was of what happened. But when you go back and look at those tapes, there's a reason why Will Fuller was drafted. Mm-hmm. It's a reason why they continue to get why they got better tight ends later on, because when Owen got hurt and all those guys were hurt and banged up and couldn't get open because they weren't fighting for position. I mean, when you had receivers on slant routes that couldn't get inside on the slant route.
If I had a magic boombox of life right in front of us right now, I would press pause and I would say, Trap, does that sound familiar? Because the exact scenario that you just painted, if you take Matt Schaub out of the equation, you could put Brock Osweiler and his crew right in there.
Right there.
Because it's the same thing. It's not all on the quarterback's shoulders. It's on the offense. And that's why, looking at yesterday, I commend their defense because they took a hot team and they slowed them down.
And they slowed them down.
They did what they needed to do on defense. And that's with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
On offense, I commend Lamar Miller for giving it a go. But overall, I look at that offense. They tried to force feed D-Hop early. They went back to the tight ends a little bit.
That's one thing. That's the only thing besides force feeding D-Hop. They fed the tight ends. Like, it felt like it was, I guess we might as well just put an extra tackle out here and just have tight ends running routes all day. Because it seems like either they're the only ones getting open, but they were the only ones getting passes thrown that way, really.
And that's, again, when the blinders are on and your preconceived notion going into the snap is, this is where I'm going with the football. And whether you're doing it by staring a receiver down or mentally, you just know this is where I'm going. That's where you were going. It was like, I'm making a conscious effort early to get the ball to D-Hop. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to make sure that I know that the one thing that's going to work for me over and over again was the tight end position. Now, there was a rumor out there before the game started that he had lost his confidence, and that was part of the deal, and that everybody was working to try and get his confidence back. Well, those are all signs that we just talked about a guy who's lost his confidence because he's worried about just making a completion. He's worried about trying to get some momentum and getting people to get off his back.
Yeah.
That concerns me because I had said going into that was a must win, and that was a game that concerned me. Now, they got a win, but they didn't convince a whole lot of people that they're any better than they were going into that game.
No, but you know what I think showed me a little bit of hope was early in the game when he threw the ball to DeAndre. DeAndre is running a 10 or 15 yard dig route and coming back out of it. And before he got out of his break, and the timing was a little bit off because of the DB kind of holding a little bit, but before he got out of his break, the ball was right there on him. And when D-Hop turned around, he was surprised because he's sitting there like,
it
oh,
was
man.
Right. Yeah, he even gave him dap and pointed at him like, that was a hell of a throw.
Because that's what it's always supposed to be like. But it further let me know, like, it's a lot because of those option routes, the inconsistency on it is a little bit off. So, you know what? I said this week, after watching that throw, I said I wasn't going to be as hard on Brock this week because for the simple fact is, it lets me know that it's more timing and more of the option parts of the routes and the option trees as far as what these receivers are doing is why it's a little bit off. You see what I'm saying?
And
I think that throw to me, because it's surprising, because DeAndre's looking like, I haven't had a throw hit me out of my break like this in a while.
So, yeah, he's expecting to get come out of his break, turn, look, wait, find, and then have to find it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was right there.
All right, so give me the scoop on the Finnegan fight. Because,
oh, no. So
I mean, that's something that everybody remembers, but I'm sure people don't know the backstory.
So so I get this call. We're in San Diego. We're playing the Sunday night game that against, I think, Kansas City. And we're playing the Sunday night game, and I get a call from my wife, and we just left out of meeting. She's frantically, she's like, oh, my God, Dre's getting in a fight. And, you know, I'm in our crew, I'm like the enforcer. You know, I'm like, man, what's
can't
up, man?
Then,
you know, let's ride on him.
Yep.
So by the time Dre gets in the locker room, I call him. Phone rings, he picks up. I say, hey, dog, you straight? He said, yeah, man, I'm, you know, just Dre, yeah, I'm straight. I said, man, if you want me to, man, we can jump this fool. You know what I mean? He was like, nah, I took care of it. Don't worry about it. So then we go to Chris Hope later on that summer is throwing is doing his, and Chris Hope played at Florida State. He's a Pro Bowl safety with the Pittsburgh Steelers and also with the Tennessee Titans. So he's doing his foundation event, and I send Dre this tweet of Courtland Finnegan sleep on the bus, right? So he sleep on the bus, and I send a tweet say, I guess he still sleep from this fight. And I send it to all the guys on the bus. Well, that's Devin McCourty in the background dying laughing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm looking at the picture right
like,
now, gang.
Oh,
yeah.
No, this is crazy. But, you know, it's funny because Dre said, man, leave that man alone. I said, no, man, forget that. I said, if you want me to, and I send him that picture, say, if you want me to, I'll whoop him right now for you. He's like, no, nah, let him
stuff.
Live.
That's great stuff. That is probably the defining moment from a Hall of Fame-like career for Andre Johnson.
Should that be a statue?
That's what I'm saying. It's not only is it a statue, that sticks out to me as the greatest Andre Johnson moment as a member of the Houston Texans. For all the great catches and all the things that he did, I thought that made such a statement and did so much for the locker room to say, hey, we're not going to be stepped on by people. We're not going to be kicked. We're going to do, you know, a lot of good things, and we don't need to take this crap anymore. So I give Dre a lot of credit for a lot of things, but none more than taking care of Courtland Finnegan. We want to know what you think. We want to know who your Mount Rushmore and or more your Fab Five of Houston Texans history is. Who would you put up there after Dre at number one? 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can tweet us, or you can call us, and we're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and Nick Shirara. On a Monday, the Texans won, the Rockets won. The Rockets are 2-1 after two huge wins against the Dallas Mavericks. What that shows to me is Dallas is just not very good. I did not think that they were that bad, but they're awful.
And they still had, and that's the crazy part is Dallas still had a chance to win the game last night.
Yeah, but if you're Mark Cuban, you might start trading off resources right now, trying to start over because Dirk is like not even on the downside. The toboggan's hitting the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
So you know, Darren Williams has shown he's got zero left in the tank.
When's the last time Darren Williams actually had something in the tank?
I think about, remember the Utah series?
Yeah.
He still made another big contract because of it. When he and Boozer beat the Rockets in Houston in Game 7,
yeah,
that's when he still had a little something left. That's when they were still considering him for Olympic teams.
Yeah, that's before the knees went to...
He's also a first-class you-know-what in the locker room. So he's not the most popular guy in the league. I'll just let you know that.
A female cleaning supply?
I have other names.
Okay.
In the Midwest, they like to call you a jagoff.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He's not exactly the guy you want to come over for dinner because he's a jagoff.
Understandable. Okay?
So the Mavs definitely laid down and gave the Rockets two victories, but it doesn't get that much easier for your favorite team, Nick Shirara, because now tomorrow the Rockets head off to the one-time mistake by the lake where they may be getting ready to celebrate their second world championship in, what, 6 months? And oh, by the way, they moved up the game time of the Rockets Cavaliers game tomorrow to a 5 p.m. Central Time so that they don't get in the way of the World Series. You can bet Daryl Morey got his little cell phone out, his flip phone, and he was annihilating the keys at the league office trying to make sure that didn't happen because he's calculated and formulated just how much a couple extra hours of sleep and rest and relaxation time can mean towards victories when you're looking at it from an analytic perspective. I can bet you that.
No question. I mean, you don't want a game moved up that was originally supposed to be at 7 p.m.
The only argument he could have, though, to win that is if it was a back-to-back. If it's a back-to-back, yeah. The league rules state you have to have, I think it's almost a full 24 hours. So there are specific rules, but with a day in between, there's nothing you can do about that. The league's going to be at least acknowledge and be, you know, cooperative towards the World Series.
Yeah, of course. You're supposed to be. The World Series is better right now than your fourth regular season game.
So let's see. You watched last night, I would assume, the baseball game.
Yes, I did.
As did I. Nick?
No, I didn't watch anything last
night. That's what we figured. So, you didn't even watch your favorite basketball team in those new funky fresh black uniforms?
Would have loved to, but I couldn't.
Where'd you go, Nick?
I was on the complete other side of town at the airport. So,
what'd you have to do?
Take my mom to the airport.
The mama. Well, you have to take care of the mama.
Hey, you better than me. I might have put her in an Uber.
An Uber? That's just not nice.
No, I wouldn't have.
Right. You see the Rockets' new uniforms?
The black ones?
Love the black
ones.
They
were great.
Yeah, cool. I can't figure out for the life of me the gray ones. With the checkerboard on the side.
Yeah. I thought you wouldn't like them, but yeah. You know.
I really like the black ones. Now, the only bad thing that I've heard said about the black uniforms is that it's not the right font. It's not the same font style as the other jerseys, and therefore, from a consistency standpoint, that they don't think that it matches. I love how the white Houston, first of all, it says Houston on the front, which is huge. It pops because of the white trim on the numbers and the letters. And I just, something about that intimidation factor with that black uniform, I liked it a lot.
You saying black is scary?
Well, I work with you every day, and I can't exactly say that I come with 100% confidence because of it.
I understand. You should be confident.
And jerseys don't have to be
consistent. Do you ever know me to not have confidence?
Yeah, no, never.
The only time I lost my machismo at all was this morning.
Yeah, with your baby.
Yeah, when I dropped my baby off at daycare, and that cry will rip right through you. That, I you know, the front is and the wall is torn down, and you're never, just like, I will do anything in the world to make sure she's okay.
It's never going to stop. It's going to be, Daddy, I want a Benz.
Boy. Daddy, that ain't happening. Not unless Daddy, Uncle Travis is coming through.
My engine broke down. I want a Bentley. Oh, baby.
And by the way, Nick, you weren't there to witness this. And this is, again, because we allow you into our lives, not just our knowledge on the radio 3 hours a day. When we did the Dicks appearance for that big Dicks weekend, yeah. 2 weekends ago, Travis's family came out, his extended family. So his nieces were there. And Uncle Trav went and did some damage getting the kids some shoes, which I was very impressed by. And even more so, I was impressed by Travis's niece. When Travis gave her the opportunity to get new basketball shoes with basketball season coming up, she came back with the funky fresh Jordan 11 Lows with the gold patent leather on them. Not because they're going to make her play better or feel comfortable, because they'd make her cool, Uncle. Yes. They'd make her cool.
Yeah.
Phenomenal choice on her part.
Hey, gotta love that.
But here's the crazy part. So she goes because she finished seventh at Junior Olympics in the 1500. So I'm thinking, hey, you know, she's still running track. I said, oh, you might need some new track shoes or something to run in, because she's a long distance. She's going to do cross country. And she's nine going on 10. But she goes, yeah, Uncle, I need some shoes. I said, all right, well, cool. You know, go grab you some shoes. And like Joel said, she comes back. So I was like, hey, what color is the shoes? And she's like, oh, they're gold and white. So me and Joel look at each other like,
didn't we gold, just get those?
We got some gold and white shoes. I didn't see too many other gold and white shoes over there that were running shoes or shoes you can wear and run on the track or shoes you can wear to school. And I said, what, the Jordan? She said, yeah. I said, well, put them back, because I'm not spending $110 on no daggone shoes for you.
Hey, man, those are some clean joy. You can't blame her for trying, right?
Well, you might have to pay a little extra and search around, because if we have shoes for the show, three of us already got them. You and Barry, you might have some work to do.
I like the shoes too. I would totally floss those patent gold.
Oh, Trav can get them for you, but it does come at a premium price. I found that out the hard way, looking for a pair of Jordans that I had stolen, and I was looking for the Jordan 11 Lows white with red patent leather that I used to have. Trav came up with them real quick, but the price he came up with, it ain't happening.
So they disappeared real quick.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you got hey, listen. When you're playing in the Jordan game, it's expensive, man.
No doubt.
It's very expensive. I remember when I went to college, Jordans were still $95.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
And I'm sitting there like, and I remember we used to complain because our scholarship check when we were still in the dorm rooms was $89 a month. And we used to be pissed. Like, man, I can't even get a pair of J's to have any money left. I'm going to owe money if I get a pair of Jordans.
Rest assured, they had them in Foot Locker.
You know, see, I don't remember.
They had them in Foot Locker. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there is a way.
And you guys played with a couple guys named Will on your team, I'm sure. So I knew there was a way. Florida State was going to come up with those J's. Hey, so you guys have had a lot of tweets, and you've been giving us a lot of feedback on our Mount Rushmore for the Texans or our Fab Five. A guy you won't put in there like we did, Matt Schaub, not making your guys' call. A guy we did not put in there that you're putting in there on a consistent basis, Brian Cushing.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, and a lot depends on if he finishes, you know, how many more years he plays here, because this could be it for him.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, aside, I think the only thing that holds him back from being a part of that list is injuries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no question. Injuries have riddled his career, especially. Yep. Really in his prime. I mean, he missed, what, two Pro Bowls that he had to pull out of because of injury. You know, he deserves to be up there. He's a top 10 guy, no doubt in my mind. I don't know who. Jake Ferguson just tweeted me, Billy Miller or Owen Daniel. I'm like, come on, man. Billy Miller's
a nice guy and caught the first touchdown in Texans history.
And I love Billy.
But there's no comparison.
Billy literally grew up 100 yards from me growing up and growing up, middle school, high school, 100 yards from me. And Billy does not deserve to be on this list. I'm sorry.
No. Owen Daniels definitely gets consideration.
No question. No question. When you talk about Owen Daniels because of what he's done on the field and because of what he was.
There you go. So we still want to hear from you for the rest of the show. You want to give us your Andre moment. You want to give us your Fab Five in Houston Texans history. And does Andre make the Hall of Fame? I think that in our minds, everybody says it's a slam dunk. In a lot of people's minds nationally, they're questioning it. I think the only thing you can question is the people that got him the ball or did not get him the ball enough. But it's also going to be a path that might be followed by another Texans current receiver. And he may want to check out and find someone else to get him the ball because he looked at Andre's career and said, should have been Hall of Famer guaranteed. Now it's kind of on the fence. Therefore, where does DeAndre Hopkins go in the future? Does he stay and stick it out with Brock and or the revolving door that is Houston Texans quarterbacks? Or does he go find himself a home with a guy that can deliver the rock and build up his stats so that he doesn't have to sit and fret over what Andre Johnson might have to fret about when the Hall comes calling? We've got a lot to talk about. We want to hear from you, 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4 o'clock. We are 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.